listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Hello, this is Talktainment Radio, and welcome to Stairway to Heaven. And this is Dr. Bass Cross. We have his co-host, Bishop Gregory Fly. Stairway to Heaven brought to you by the Refuge Baptist Church, the Keys of Harmony, and also Bishop.
Yes, I want to give a shout out to the School of Biblical Theology Seminary, located at 2479 Cleveland Avenue, Columbus, Ohio. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to the church where I pastor, and that's Grace New Covenant Worship Center, located at 1643 Aberdeen Avenue, Columbus, Ohio. We thank God for all of that, and I'd like to give a special shout-out to my wife, Pearline Fly.
Yeah, and I'd like to give a shout-out to my wife, Patricia Smith, Patricia Smith, and also to my daughter, Antoinette, and my sisters and friends. Today we have Bishop has a great message for you, and I believe it's awesome. What you bring us today, Bishop?
Yes, I want to talk about the encourager, but before I do that, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come to you, we give you praise, we give you honor and glory. We ask, Lord, that you may have your way. Touch the hearts and the ears of the ones that is listening today. Father, put it in their hearts and in their minds and in their ears, Lord, that they're going to do what your word says to do. Father, in encouraging other people, Lord, in your kingdom. And we ask, Lord, that you would look upon our city and upon our country in a special way. Lord, all the things that's going on, you know all about them, and we put it in your hands. Father, like the song said one time, we put it all in your hands, this and that, and we're putting that in your hands today, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen. And if you want to come in on a conversation on the lesson of the day or the music, please call us at 614-817-5588. That's 614-817-5588. And you may ask the questions and tell us about the music. Give us a call and let us know how you enjoy the show. I'm returning back over to Bishop. Bishop.
In the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse number 36, there was Joseph, the one of the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And he was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. If you could be any character in the book of Acts, what would it be? Or who would it be? Would it be Peter, the Pentecost preacher? Would it be Dr. Luke, the amazing writer? What about Paul, the magnificent missionary? What about Apollos, the mighty man of Scripture? Would you settle for being Timothy, the learner? I've dreamed of being like these men. However, there is a champion that stands out, and his name is Barnabas, the encourager. That was the nickname, the one that has stuck throughout the ages. I have a question. If your fellow believers, co-workers, or family members were to give you a nickname, what would it be?
No number.
What would it be? Mine would be Timothy.
Timothy, the learner.
The learner. And the reason why I say Timothy, I've always tried to, I like learning new things, and I enjoy learning new things, and it'll help me on the way. And I would rather be Timothy.
Okay. Barnabas is best remembered for only one thing. He put courage in the hearts of others. It was his constant attitude, a way of life. He is one of the most influential men in the New Testament. He didn't write any of the books of the New Testament except possibly the book of Hebrews. However, he was indirectly responsible for most of the New Testament. Without Barnabas, there is doubtful that we would even have a letter from Paul, Luke's gospel, or Acts, or the gospel of Mark. And the question is asked, how did he accomplish this? The answer is short, but not always so simple. He encouraged other people. He encouraged them. Through utilization of encouragement, the gospel spread throughout the whole world. He assisted others into their in their ministry, in their personal ministry, in their spiritual growth. He invested in their lives and edified them or build them up and expected little in return. And the end result for his effort was always the same. The church strengthened and the kingdom of God expanded.
And during that time, those apostles, I guess call them apostles of learning, who was more wiser than any of them? Who's the wisest one?
Well, I don't think that there we could say who was the wisest. We could say who God used more, and that was the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. So he wrote most of those books, and these was letters, and a lot of times he wrote them while he was in jail.
And Paul was one of the, I consider Paul one of the top apostles who, while his time in prison, he wrote the whole, he wrote a lot. And he was there with Jesus through thick and thin, am I right?
Yeah, he was there. He was there not with Jesus, because Jesus was already being crucified. Okay. But he had an experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had a letter that came from the high priest that said that he could bring back bound to Jerusalem anyone he found, male, female, or even child, calling upon the name of Jesus, that he could bring them back bound. But on his way, he got arrested by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost asked him, Saul, his name was Saul at that time, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul wanted to know, well, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. And the lesson here is that, you know, when we are persecuted, we shouldn't take it all personal, because they're also persecuting the Lord that's within us. And he takes it very personal.
Yeah, because a lot of people that you persecute should not even be persecuted. And some do it out of fear of jealousy, and some fear out of fear of just downright Andre and don't care. Don't like how they're doing, the fear that they're going to get a little bit more than what they got. And yeah, I'm glad that when Jesus asked Saul, what was his question? What was the answer that he asked Jesus?
Why persecuted thou me?
Right.
And Saul wanted to know, who are thou? Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. He didn't know that he had a work that was going to cause him to be persecuted greatly, but it was the beginning now of his work. And he was feared amongst the church. Saul was. He was feared to the point that when God got ready to bless him and use him, that he called forth an apostle, he called forth a disciple by the name of Ananias, and he asked him to go and pray for him. And he wanted to know, is this the same Saul that persecuted the church? Is this the same one that caused people to come back to Jerusalem bound? Is this the same one that have a letter from the high priest? And he said, well, just let him stay blind. But the Lord said, no, I have a work for him to do, and you must tell him the things that he must suffer.
And the Lord does have a lot of work for us to do. And we don't know what our job. We all put here for a job that he has for us. As he said, that the yard has plenty, but fewer workers to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we never know when we may get called to do some work for the Lord. We never know when we may call to do this, because sometimes there's some jobs that people fear that they can't do. And maybe this is probably why Saul was trying to, after he got healed, and wonder what the job was. We sometimes have to wonder why that the Lord put us here. We all don't really know, because I was told that God has a job for you to do, and I heard that a lot of times, and I've been wondering, what job does he have? Is it? I thought it was just my music. You know, it's things that he wanted me to do, but I found out different. There's more to it. He has showed me what type of job to do, what he has. He might want me to like today, we're trying to get his word out on the air, and other people can hear, and maybe they will continue to listen and maybe convert to Christianity and learn what's done. Bishop?
Yes, there's a president of a theological college. His name is Robert Ashkoff, and he once said, "Let your emphasis be on the creative and constructive above the critical and the corrective." He counseled a developing young student, "There's nothing wrong with being critical and corrective, but don't let your emphasis be there. Give yourself to being creative and constructive. Thought finding is not a spiritual gift. Locating problem areas in any relationship or team or family or ministry or any organization is not difficult. Solving these take initiative, innovation, insight, intelligence, inspiration, inventiveness, imagination, and input." You know, sometimes people say, "Well, if I was in charge, this is what I would do." But we are encouraging. We should be encouraging the one that's in charge, because if everything goes right, it goes right for us as well. Being critical and corrective is the easy, low road. Being creative and constructive is the difficult, high road. The difference is night and day. So we must strive to encourage. And we all have tongues. We all are able to talk. So if you're able to talk, you can be an encourager.
And by being encouraging, you can show people, by you showing your, you can show your encouragement through actions. And because people are constantly watching you. You claim that you're a Christian and you believe in God. If you show a person how Christians are and how they act and everything, they'll constantly watch you and watch and watch and say, "Hey, I want some of that." And they'll come to you and get some. And I had a friend that was like that. And I mean, he was downright atheist. And he kept on. And finally, he came to me and told me, say, "Hey," I believe I told y'all this before, that he came and said, I was a union store. He said, "Mr. Claude," I said, "Yes." He said, "Thank you for giving me a raise." And then next thing he said, "I'll pray for you." And I was shocked when he told me that. I was very, very shocked. And mm-hmm. him and I became friends. And people wanted to say, "Y'all about ready to kill each other, fight each other." I say, "What happened?" I say, "It's something that he saw that he wanted. And he figured he didn't know how to get it, but he watched me, constantly watched me. And he finally, and now he know what it is." And I'm glad that I kind of show more Christianity around and then fear. I did show some fear in him, just getting him, you know, get him scared off my mm-hmm. back, but I found out it wasn't the right way. I had to go the other way. I had to use the Christian way and let him show
Amen.
How it's done. Because everything that you were taught, he was taught this. And he was told this.
Mm-hmm.
And the same person that told him that tried to do it to you tell me the same thing. And I had to go back and tell him, "I have to go back with the Bible tells me. I can't go back what you saying, because what you saying is not true." And from then on, after I told him that, he left me alone. He never came around me, didn't want to be around me, because he figured, well, I was talking hogwash.
Okay. One of the challenges of getting older or being part of any group for any extended period of time is not becoming cynical or critical. We tend to carry many painful memories and moans and misfortunes and mistakes of the past and allow them to color the future. We can't allow what was to hinder where we're going now. We have to repent of those things and go ahead. And those that are encouragers need to be out there encouraging us to go ahead and do what the Lord has called you to do. Someone has said, "The young wants to change the world and the old wants to change the young." But we have to get with the young, because we have to realize we wasn't always old and we weren't always in the will of God and we didn't always do things right, and they're not going to always do things right. We have to have patience. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody worked with us. Somebody took us under their wing and showed us the way. And that's the same thing that we have to do with the younger generation. I know all we hear about is this and that and the bad things, but there's some young people doing some good things. There's some young people that's going to college. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about the young ladies that's becoming lawyers and doctors and business owners. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about the women ministers and preaching and teaching the word of God and pastoring hard-headed and rebellious people. We don't talk about that. We only talk about the shooting, but you know what? We know that the devil is busy. We know that he's on his job, but I want you to know that God is also reigns, and he's on his job as well.
Yes, he is, and I agree with you on that. We don't talk about the good things that people are doing. There's always something negative, and when they talk about something, some of this negativity has come from the music. I'm sorry, you know, for those who enjoy it, I'd have nothing against you what you listen to, but some of the music out there teaches negativity, and also teaches how you treat people, how you do people wrong. You can't, whatever they're saying, everybody, well, it's for the money. Well, it may be for the money, but if you got young people out here listening to this every day, I mean, it got to the point where they play it so loud, you can be in church and you hear it. They talking, using foul language. It's very disrespectful. But see, what we have to get out there and show them that the right way. And those who people that went to school, the doctors, lawyers, someone with the military, is in the military,
mm-hmm.
and becomes nurses, learn their training through the military, come out nurses, some come out doctors, and you'd be surprised. And once they come out of there, you say, for example, for myself, when I came out the service, I was glad. When I came home, half the friends I know went to prison. They thought that was big stuff. But they have to learn just like we had to learn. And just because everything looked good ain't good. And we had to kind of watch listen to what we hear, listen close and hear what they saying, and then you'll find out what's going on, Bishop.
Yeah, you know, one of the, I have a question it's not about anything. It only requires you to answer it in your own heart. And that is, who encouraged the encourager? Who's the one that encouraged the encourager? The encourager is out there trying to do the will of God and trying to encourage the people of God. When I look at Barnabas, he risked his life and reputation to encourage Paul and to bring him to the apostles at Jerusalem. It was at this moment that they didn't want to have anything to do with Paul because of his reputation, that he was a persecutor. But Barnabas risked his life and his reputation in speaking up for him. And my question is also, who have you spoke up for? Who have the world just set aside and you went and got and said, come on, brother, come on, sister, let us walk together for a while? He not only took him to the apostles in Jerusalem, but he took him to them in Antioch. Also, they didn't want to have anything to do with him. But when they heard him, they understood that he had been with Jesus. You know, it's different once you've been with the Lord. Your conversation changed, your walk changed, your talk changed. Everything changes about you. Your heart has been through a change. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, that he is a new creature, and that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Are you new? Where are the encouragers? God wants you to encourage somebody else.
Yeah, well, that we do need a lot of encouragement, because people, even the most people who need encouragement are our young people, and they need more encouragement now than anything in the world. It's not like we're in Bishopville when we was coming up. It was some bad things, but it wasn't this bad at all. Young people got to the point they're carrying guns, knives, they carry anything. They don't, when you get a dispute, it's like not no hand-to-hand combat. It's like, say a few words, come back, bang, bang, you're dead.
It's like a war.
It's a war. And it's just like, well, like I always say, once they get caught and everything, what's going to be, what's said then? Hey, I'm gone now, you know. And if they had a thought before they did what they did it, then they would have still be walking the street. So a lot of these young people do it just to go up there, and they come out, they big and bad, and someone go there, sister, and some should come up still, wonder, well, man, I did this and that and the other. But we got to encourage these young folks that everything mm-hmm. that looks green ain't pretty.
You know, John Marks was rejected by Paul, but Barnabas didn't give up on him. John Marks went on to write the Gospel of Mark, later became, and later because of Barnabas' tender encouragement, Paul wrote, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me in the ministry." This is after he had rejected him. Somebody had to nurture him. You know what? He could have been, looked on his failures and the shortcomings and liability, John Marks, but Barnabas saw beyond that to his full potential. He injected encouragement into him. Otherwise, this young man would have returned from the missionary trip discouraged, disgraced, and dejected, and he could have drifted away, fading in the pages of Acts and never heard from again. How many young men and young women have left the church and haven't been heard from again? How many young men and young women are on the streets doing their thing, so they say, hurt by the church? We need people to go out and tell them, you know what, brother, you know what, sister, we love you. You belong to God, and we want to walk with you. The Bible says that part of the gift of the Holy Ghost is long suffering. That's the fruit, long suffering, mm-hmm. that we will work with people, that we will strive to help them and to encourage them until they're able to walk for themselves. And that's what the Lord told me one time. I'll carry you until you're able to walk on your own. And when you're able to walk on your own, I will walk with you. We used to sing a song, "Walk with me, Lord, walk with me." We don't sing it anymore, but we used to sing that song. While I'm on this Christian journey, I need Jesus to walk with me. So, you know, it's high time that we come off our high horses and really look and say, "Lord, what can I do, or who can I encourage today?"
Yes, we do need people to walk. We need to walk with them and pull them out and say, "Hey, this ain't no good." And maybe one day, they will get the message to see what that the Lord will come. The Lord's coming, and he's going to let you go float for a while. Then finally, when he gets tired, he's going to pull you out of it. He's going to do something that's going to scare you, wish you had never done it. And after you didn't do it, then he's going to come back and say, you're going to say, "Well, I'm sorry, I should have never done that." Because there's a lot of things out here that we get into thinking, "Oh, lovey-dovey and all together." But it ain't all lovey-dovey and all together, because it happens to it gets to the point where you'll get tired and the Lord will get tired of it. Bishop?
You know, a lot of times people feel that they can't do anything if they don't have a title. You know, I want to be a missionary. I want to be an evangelist. I want to be a minister, I want to be the pastor, I want to be a bishop, I want to be an apostle. All these desires perhaps are good. But, you know, one thing that the early church, they did not select Barnabas to be one of the senior leaders. And a valuable lesson can be learned. It is not necessary to be selected for an office in order to be faithful, to be a faithful servant and have an impact on the organization. Some of your impactful people are in the ranks. They're not up in the upper echelon of the corporation or business. And God calls you even before you get a title. You should be doing the work of the Lord. Barnabas clearly was not position-minded or power-hungry. Most are primed to defend their territory of what they consider their acquired ministry or earned place in the kingdom of God. Whatever place we have in the kingdom of God, it was not earned. It was by his grace. It's by his love. It's by his mercy that we have it.
Yes, it is. And we should be, we should have a lot of love and mercy towards our friendships and towards our friends, even our enemies. But we have a lot of people out there that are lost and need help. And the only way we can help them is give them a helping hand. Don't talk about or down them, because something in the world that they don't understand. They say they know what they're doing. They know what they say. See how they're doing. They're doing this. But really deep down inside, they don't. And the things that they're doing is known as self pity, as I was going to say. Somebody gets so deep into self-pity and don't care and just throw their life away. But some of us need to get out there. Some encouragers need to get out there. grab him, hold him by the hand, and pull him aside. And let's take a walk. Let's talk about what's bugging, why you're having this problem. Let's talk about what got you into this. And that you want to show, and they let me show you how to get out of this. It's up to the individual that really want to try, and a person that try and wants to get away from what they're doing will come out of it if they want them to. Bishop?
Yes, it's kind of amazing how Barnabas, when he went and rescued Paul, people said that it was Barnabas and Paul. And then Paul, his popularity and his ministry began to grow. And then people said it was Paul and Barnabas. And then later on, we didn't hear anything about Barnabas. It was all Paul. But Barnabas had did his job. He had encouraged Paul to write those letters. He encouraged Paul to encourage the saints. Paul had changed since the time he came in contact with John Marks, because he wanted to just shove him out. But now Paul was willing to learn. He was willing to learn how to work with people. And that's what we have to do. We're not judges. We can't judge a person, but we can help them. We can encourage them to get in the Word, find out what God has called them to do, and get to going and being whatever it is. You know what? God might have called you to start a business. He might have called you to write a book. He might have called you to write a song. But you know what? The only thing that's holding you back is fear of failure. But there's no failure in God. Write that song. Write that book. Start that business. Do what God has called you to do, because everything you need to do it is in your obedience to the command by faith. It's already there. All you have to do is walk in it.
Yeah, and once you walk in and learn, you see, and it'll grow. And each day, it grows every day, every minute, every hour. You just have to step out on faith and walk in faith, because he's there. This is Stairway to Heaven, and you listen on Talk Tame Radio. And your host, this is your host, Dr. Claude Smith Bass. And this is Bishop Gregory Fry. And we're your hosts for the Stairway to Heaven. And if you wish to listen to, or wants to call, ask us questions, or the music you write, give us a call at 614-817-5588. That's 614-817-5588. And we'll try to do the best I can to share what we have. And maybe one day, maybe after you learn, maybe you probably, if you like the music, let us know. If you like the lesson that we give, let us know. Because the Word will go far, and the Word will carry you each and every day. There's always something in Bishop's teaching. There's always teaching, there's a word in Bishop's teaching that someone can catch. And if they carry that, it'll go a long way with the bishop.
Yeah, just one thing, the word will not return unto him void, is what Jesus said, but it shall accomplish the thing that it was intended to do. So do the word, pray the word, say the word, and watch God do the word on you.
And do it. Okay, our YouTube fans and Facebook people, hey, take care, and we'll see you next time.
God bless you. May heaven never smile upon you.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33. with not one day off since. But JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream. For a life that's healthy and clean, make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Hello, hello. This is Dr. Tamer Radio, and you're listening to Stairway to Heaven. And this is your host, Dr. Bass Claude Smith, and co-host, Bishop Gregory Fly. And we're having a beautiful message and everything, and hope you enjoy it. And also, we have some music, too. So if you, so this is Crystal Davis singing The Blood. Okay, that was Christy Davis, Delta singing The Blood, and it sounds good. We do need the blood to keep us clean, right, Bishop? Bishop, you can go ahead and tell us a little more on your lesson right quick until the next song pops up.
Yes, I want to just remind everyone of the School of Biblical Theology Seminary, located at 2479 Cleveland Avenue, Columbus, Ohio, where we have online classes and on-campus classes. So you can be anywhere in the world. If you can get on the internet, you can take classes because you can do it online. If you're here in Columbus locally or the surrounding area, you can come and register for on-campus classes where you're right there in the classroom. We have a saying that it's an honor to serve. Whatever God has called you to do, it's an honor to be able to do it. But it takes training. Our phone number is area code 614-929-5333. That's the School of Biblical Theology Seminary. You can go online and look at our webpage. It's biblicalseminary.org and see how we can help you be the best you can be.
Okay, and for those, like I say, for those, Stairway to Heaven is brought to you by the Refuge Baptist Church, where the pastor, Kaiser Jones Jr., is pastor. The Keys of Harmony And I'm also giving a shout out to my wife and Con Lab on DoubleTree. My co-workers are out there, so I thought I would give them a shout out. And I'd also like to say the Keys of Harmony are rehearsing again, and I'll let you know where we'll be at. We're supposed to be somewhere this month, but next time we come on the air, I will let you know where we're at. And I think it's going to be sort of like an appearance. I think it's sort of like one of the big programs they have, and as various groups will be there. Dr. Bass, yours truly, will be there with the Keys of Harmony. I'm their bass player. And we will try, I think we're going to have a nice time. But as I said before, I'm giving my shout out to my wife, my daughters, my sisters, everybody in the family. I wish you, I hope y'all have a beautiful evening. Bishop?
Yes, I'd like to continue on what we're talking about as far as an encourager. And the real test of leadership is how a leader responds once he's no longer in the spotlight. Many have turned into a chief disappointment. But according to Bob Sanders, the acid test of an encourager is the ability to let someone else take the lead and get the credit. Do you have to get the credit all the time? No, you don't. We're supposed to be training leaders so we can fade away. We fade off the scene. To recognize potential in a colleague and encourage him or her to move ahead without becoming jealous or resentful, that was Barnabas. He wasn't jealous or resentful because the people went and did what God has called them to do. So whatever God has called you to do, I want to encourage you with all of my heart. Just do it. Sometimes we say, well, I don't have the money. When I came to Grace New Covenant Church 18 years ago, well, soon to be 18, I was looking out the window, and the Lord said, look at my house. And I was looking out the window. I said, Lord, I would like to have that building across the way. And he said, what would you do with it? And I said, I'd tear it down. I'd tear it down, and I'd extend the parking lot. And he said, look at my house. And so I stood in the window. He said, look at my house. So I went through every room in that church, every room, and looked at it. And then when I came back to the window, I stood and I looked, and he said, rebuild my house. And I said, Lord, how can we rebuild it when we don't have no money? He said, go to the bank. We went to the bank, and the bank said, they needed an X number of years of financial records, and we didn't have it. And I said, well, can you go by the last 9 months, because that's all I got. Records of the last 9 months. And the lady at the bank, she said, you know what, Pastor Fly, I believe in what you're trying to do, and I'm going to write an exception. We're going to try to get you the money. And so we needed $50,000. And so she called me 2 days later and said, when do you want to close? Your loan has been approved. So about a year later, that building that I was looking at across the way caught on fire. And I said, Lord, I still want that building. I'm going to tear it down, and I'm going to extend the parking lot. Because all we had was one lot, and I wanted to make it a parking lot. And so I called her and told her what I wanted to do. This time, I didn't need $50,000. I needed $170,000. Now, isn't that something how I went through all of this for the $50,000, but for the $170,000, it only took a phone call?
That is so great. That is so good. My wish is that I hope that everything works out next year, that maybe the gospel explosion be a success. And I'm hoping and praying that I can raise at least $1,200 and to get this thing started. So that is my goal, and I'm praying and hoping that the Lord will help me get that $1,200, because a lot I have been asked about putting on. I wasn't going to do it. Then I had a lot of people asking me to do another one. So hopefully I'm praying that I can get the artists to come and that I have the funds for them to give them when they get here. We'll let you know where it's going to be and so forth. We're not selling any tickets. I don't think we're going to sell any tickets, but we'll let you know if there will be any tickets. So, but anyway, I'm trying to do this thing without selling tickets. because all these groups, some of these groups are locals. Trying to get one from Dayton, Ohio, and one from Cincinnati. Hopefully that can get built up where we can bring the, some of the professionals in. But that is my goal, to get that as one of the goals. And then there's another goal, to put it downtown at the Cummins one nice hot summer year, summer to have it downtown. But, you know, it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of things. It's a job to do. So that is the biggest goal I want, to bring that gospel explosion right downtown Columbus, Ohio, at the Cummins. And I hope and pray that next year it'd be a explosion, be a success, and pray that the third one will be right downtown here.
Amen. Amen. You know, there was a preacher that was preaching, and an older gentleman sent him a note, and the note said, "If he earns your praise, bestow it. If you like him, let him know. Let words of true encouragement be said. Do not wait until life is over and he's underneath the clover, for he cannot read his tombstone when he's dead." In other words, let those flowers be given while we're able to smell. Let that encouragement be said while we're able to hear. Don't be so caught up with, you know, wondering if somebody's going to pass you. Be on the sideline and encourage our young people to really do what God has called them to do. They have a different assignment than we have, because they're dealing with a different type of people. Young people are not the same as they were when we were coming up. Not that they're any worse, they're just not the same. Times are not the same. So people living in this day and time is not the same.
No, they're not, because they're constantly changing. You know, they constantly changing. I mean, as I said before, things don't change since when we were young coming up, and everything was on top, on point, and a little more stricter. But now society has came in, and it took some of the power from the authority from the parents. And the kids are not scared anymore. They got the kids, children, young people not scared of their parents anymore. Because as I always say, you do something to me, I'm going to call downtown. And that's sort of like a fear thing. But we need to get our young people together and pull them together and let them know, hey, we've been through what you've been through, but it was much harder. But what you're going through, it seems like it's easy. And that whoever thought of this, don't punish your parents, I feel, I guess they never had went through what we went through.
Well, you know, sometimes parents are afraid of their children. But I know a lady, her son told her that he wanted to, that she couldn't hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And that if she did, he was going to call the police.
Mm-hmm.
So she told him, but when you call the police, make sure that you have everything that you bought so they can take you to a new home. And he said, "Everything that I bought?" She said, "Yes, everything that you bought." He said, "Well, I didn't buy anything." She said, "Exactly. So you're going to live here and do what I tell you to do. I'm not going to tell you wrong. I'm going to tell you the right thing, but you're going to do it if you want to live here." And I think that, you know, parents today are fearful in some manners, or they feel that they wasn't raised right and they're going to raise their children different.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, well, what are the results? What are the results? We living in a different time. I remember when when we got out of school, it was our desire to come home and go outside and play.
Right.
Now you can't hardly find a child on the street playing at all. Mm-hmm. Every now and then you run across a few playing basketball, but as a whole, they're not. They're on the computer. They're playing games on the computer. And you never know what they're really watching while they're on that tablet or on that phone or on that computer.
Right, and that computer, we both got computers, as I said, but some of the games that come up on that computer is not even worth playing, Because some of them, like with that Grand Theft Auto, and that's teaching, they play their game, they're showing them like how to steal cars. And then you got another game doing a lot of shooting and killing. And gangster wise, they got a show coming up now on television called BMF, Black BFM, Black Family and Mafia. And that's, and I seen previews of that. And I would, if I was still young and I had my sons and my kids, I wouldn't even let my children look at it. Even my teenagers wouldn't even look at that show. Because it's like the late Bishop Mangum said that one time in a sermon. He preached a sermon one time. He said, he getting tired of seeing, he said, every time we see our young men, where the police are putting handcuffs on them, taking them to jail. He said, it's about time to let our young men and women know that, like you said before, we didn't encourage them that. We love you, but the way the route you're going is the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And, get back to you, bitch.
Okay. Well, I was looking at our song list for tonight, and I think this would be a good place to put some music. And I want to talk about some of our young artists here in Columbus.
Okay, sounds good.
The young artists that's coming up, we need to support them. We need to encourage them. Encourage them to do what God has called them to do. Their music is good, their voices are good, and they're working hard, and they're not in the street, and they're serving the Lord. So we should encourage them. But while we are waiting for them to come forward, you know, go back to some of our old singers and some of the gospel that has a message in it of salvation, a message of encouragement.
Yeah, we do. We got some talent here. We got some talent. We do need, there's a lot of young groups here. A lot of them here on talent, such as there's a group called Family, a group called The Anointed Sons, and the list goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
If we can find some of these young talent, if I had a recording studio, I would go and get that young talent and put them out there. And like I say, this show is for the local, and it's for both professional and local. The show is for groups nobody never heard of.
Okay.
You know, nobody like Christy Davis. Nobody never heard of her. Roy and the Revelation, hardly anybody, they heard of them, Jews and Convert. But Christy Davis, and there's another group here, this lady young here named Lady Belcher, has nobody never heard of her. These are, I think, get some of the local groups from Columbus, some of the local groups are from the other town. Now I would like to hear them.
Yes.
You know, so, thing about it is, we need to. When we get a chance to go to some of these local programs and see if some of these local groups got CDs out and grab it. I know Big Sean. I got Big Sean. He's a local. Mm-hmm. I played his music before. He sang with the Anointed God, Sons of God, and he came out with his song. And I'm gonna bring that back. And I'm gonna bring Family back. And there's an old group here. That I brought with me today called the Spiritual Tornadoes. Now, all these guys are gone.
Okay.
Their sons took the group, and I don't know if the sons of the Spiritual Tornadoes are the young men, and I don't know if they're still singing or not. I'm going to have to find that out, see if they're still together.
Okay.
But like I said, yeah, we got to bring all these young people out and let some of the young people know, hey, this is what they're not. This is what they're doing. I mean, rapping your thing is your thing. I am not going to block you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you make it clean. You know, stop using all this dirty language and rapping and everything.
Well, in the conclusion of our message today on Encourager, mm-hmm. one of the significant ways that Barnabas encouraged others was through his words.
Mm-hmm.
Words are, of course, the most powerful drug used by mankind.
Okay.
Words are powerful tools of influence. All of us can speak words, and so all of us have the power to encourage or discourage others. When I was coming up, we used to say sticks and stones would break my bones.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Right, remember.
But words would never
hurt.
Harm me.
Right, I remember
that. Yeah,
but
words do harm. Words last longer than a good hit with a stick.
It does, and then it breaks your heart. This is Talktainment Radio, and you're listening to Stairway to Heaven with your host, Dr. Bass Claude Smith, and co-host, Mr. Gregory Fly. Hopefully, we have another co-host, which her name is Sarita Woods. And I'll see Sarita tomorrow and find out when she can come up here and sit in with us. Mm-hmm. And she's been here before and done this before, so I'm going to try to get Rita up here, you know, when we can. One Friday, a couple of Fridays when she can make us the job she got her working certain hours. I got to find out what time she gets off and bring up here. We understand that. But this is, you know, really, but we would like if I can get the Spiritual Tornadoes or Royal the Revelation, either one would do. And hopefully that things that when we do get this explosion going and get this thing going, we will be mostly be a success. So let's go with the Roy and the Revelations. I know it was Jesus. Next month, November, is the Spiritual Tornadoes anniversary, and we're going to try to feature them with all their recordings, like William Bowie's song "Heavy Load" is on there. Quite some other songs on there, on that CD. And this is the Spiritual Tornadoes singing "Heavy Load." And we're going to feature them on their anniversary next month.
Church, I got rid of mine.
It's a late William Boy.
One day. Jesus lifted the sin from my soul. So I can tell the world I got rid of my heavy load. Heavy.
Okay, that's the Spiritual Tornado saying "Heavy Load." Like I said, next month we're going to feature them on their anniversary next month. That was William Bowie, Reverend Charles Mays, a lot of them. We'll feature the anniversary next month. And this here is Roy and Revelations. I Know It Was Jesus.
I know. once was, but now I can see, I can see, I see the world. I know it was Jesus,
I know it was Jesus
that saved my soul.
Saved my soul.
Somebody say,
I know it was Jesus.
Okay, that was Roy and the Revelations. Keep it going. And I'd like to say that, hey, we're getting time shorter and shorter. But I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let Bishop close us out with a prayer. Hey, the mind is nothing but the garden, what you put in it grows. And remember, if you have a smile, give somebody yours. And is he Bishop?
Yes, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the turnaround. We thank you, Lord, for the turnaround in the hospitals. We thank you, Lord, for the turnaround in the nursing homes and in the people's houses. Father, we thank you for the turnaround in relationships. We thank you, Lord, for a turnaround on jobs, Lord, that where the employer was evil and mean, Father, that now they're nice. Lord, we thank you for that turnaround. Lord, we know that you are God of a turnaround, and we ask, Lord, that you may turn your people around. Let them come to you. Let them seek you, Father, in these last and evil days. And we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've ever done for us. We thank you, and we give you praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hey, y'all have a beautiful evening.
Something about it. Let me tell you what I decided that I was going to do. I got to clean up what I messed up. I'm starting my life over again. I got to clean up what I messed up. I'm starting my life over again. To myself, I made up my mind, I ain't lying no more, cause a lion and a cheetah can't make it through the door. I gotta clean up, yes I do, y'all,
but I messed up.
Come on, y'all, sing it.
I'm starting my life.